Begin the current daf Masechtas Bamitzia daf Ayin Tes. Begin 11 lines down with the top of the Amud. But the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf regarding the halachas of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah spoke about if someone rents a donkey and then something happens to the donkey, what's the halacha? Does the owner that rented it, that leased it out, have to provide him for a new one? Or does he have to deal with what happens to it? So the Mishnah differentiated if it's something that's dealable. In other words, if the animal went blind or if the worms ate away at its foot, but it could still function as a donkey, albeit with challenges, then he could tell Maharishal Chalaf Nacha, you got to deal with it. Versus if, let's say, the animal died or if it broke and then it has no usability whatsoever, then the owner has to provide for him a new donkey for the lease up until the lease expires. So continuing on that theme, the Gemara brings it, Amar Rabba Barav Huna Amar Rav. Rav said the following halacha. If someone rented a donkey to ride on it for that purpose that he wants to use it to ride on it, and the donkey died halfway through the journey, so says Rav, so he gives him the payment for half a journey, and then the renter only has towards the owner El Tarumis. The only thing he has to him is complaints, because what you do, lease me such a junky, worn out old donkey that halfway through the journey it dies. But that's all he has. He doesn't have any financial, he can't sue him for financial loss. He has to pay him, it took you halfway, you got to pay for how much halfway. And then all you have is complaints, because here you are halfway through the road and you're stuck without a donkey. Now, the Gemara is Hechademi, but what's the case talking about? If it's talking about where the place where the donkey dies halfway through the journey, there actually happens to be a donkey depot right there that you could buy another, that you could rent another donkey. So Tarumis my evidence. So what's the complaints he has about him? Okay, big deal. So you have a donkey right here to rent. So you pay for half, and then you pay for another half of the journey. And if he's halfway out in nowhere, no man's land, and there's no donkey to rent, so Igra Baila Mesavli, he has to pay him for half the journey? What do you mean? The guy's stuck over here. It didn't get me where I wanted to get to. Why does he even have to pay him for half? So how do we understand this halacha that he pays him for half, but he has complaints? Either way you look at it, either he shouldn't have complaints, if there are donkeys, and if there are no donkeys, then they shouldn't have to pay him for half the journey. So the Gemara says, La'olam de l'shchich laguri. Truth is that Rav was talking about a case where he's out of no man's land, and that is, he has no other donkeys to rent. But the owner could tell the renter, Ilu bois l'meis adhocha. Had you wanted to come till here, to the halfway point, lav igra bois l'meis, wouldn't you have had to give me that amount of money, which is half the amount? And now, although you wanted to go the whole journey, but you went halfway, you got to pay me for half. Now, Tesis wonders, says, what do you mean? This guy didn't want to come to halfway's land. He wanted to get to where he wanted to get to, and he's not getting there, so why does he have to pay? So Tesis says that this that the Gemara explains as talking about a place to leshchich laguri, that there are no donkeys to rent, it means there's no donkeys to rent according to the amount of how much he had made up the contract with the original guy. But if he adds on a little bit more, he could find a donkey to rent over there. So therefore, he does benefit by the fact that the first donkey brought him halfway, that because now he's at a place where he could also get a donkey and he could go the rest of the journey. So therefore, he has to give him for half the amount of the journey of pay. Now, additionally, as we see from the Gemara, he's not allowed to diminish the pay that he's giving to the owner from the fact that now he has to pay more for the rest of the journey, because since it's his anus, it's something beyond the control. Yes, you could have complaints and say, well, what do you mean? You give me such a weak old donkey? Good, you have complaints against me, but I got you halfway, and now you could get to the rest of your journey, albeit you have to add a little bit more money, so I benefited you. You're not going to pay for the whole journey now, you're going to pay for only half, albeit with a little bit more price, so therefore you're going to pay me for half the journey, again, with tarumas. So that was one question and answer on Rav Salacha. Another question in Gemara is, hey, chidami. Again, to qualify, how do we understand this case of Rav? If the owner had leased out a donkey to him, he says, yeah, I'll provide for you a donkey, I'll get you to you want to go to where you got to get to, I'll get you a donkey. He didn't say this donkey, he said, I'll get you a donkey. So the question is, then he should have to provide for him another donkey. And therefore, why is it that he doesn't have to and he has to pay him for half the journey? And if he had said that this donkey I'm giving to you to take you all the way, so then the question is, if there is in the value of this dead nevela, dead donkey, likach enough to go ahead and purchase another, no matter how inferior quality, but there is enough to buy another donkey, then yikach, then he should have to go ahead and buy a new donkey with that remnant of that first donkey, that this guy could finish up his journey. Because he indebted this donkey for this guy's journey. Now, we learned in our Mishnah that if the donkey that he leased him died, he has to provide for a new donkey. So either way we look at it, how do we understand that he gets away, the owner, scot-free, and he gets paid for the half journey that it took him? But why? If he said general a donkey, then he should have to provide him a donkey to take him the rest. And if he said this one, still he should have to provide for him if there's enough to go ahead and purchase somewhat of a donkey based on the leftover money from this dead animal carcass from this previous donkey. So the Gemara says leitzrich, and obviously we have to be talking about b'she'im b'demelikach. You're right. There's not enough money in the dead donkey to sell it and to get money to buy a new donkey. So therefore, since it's not enough, and he said this donkey, so therefore that's why he doesn't have to provide for him, and therefore the guy got to find his own way for the second half. And again, he has terumas. Now the Gemara asks, but fine, let's say there's not enough money to buy a whole new donkey, but im yesh b'demel lisker, but if there's enough money for this dead animal that you could sell it to rent, to pay for a donkey, just to rent it to get to the second half of the journey, then this renter should take the nevela right over there where it is, sell it, and yisker, let him go ahead and rent a donkey for himself, go to the rent a donkey, and because the owner said that chamar zeh, this donkey is indebted to get you to where you have to go to. Now again, as we said, we learned in our Mishnah that if the donkey that he rented died, he has to provide for him a new donkey. So you're right, it's not enough money to buy a donkey, but if he has enough money just to rent a donkey, he should be allowed to rent a donkey with the money of this donkey. So the Gemara answers, Rav l'tamei. This halacha was said by Rav. Now Rav goes according to his reasoning, to Amar Rav, that he says, loy mechalin en karna. When there is a shibud, when there is a responsibility, a liability on the part of, let's say in our case, of an owner, although he has a responsibility when he said this donkey is going to get you there, it's as far as it's not going to eat up the principal of that donkey. But if what you're going to do to get to that place because of what he was meshabed his donkey is you can actually use up his whole principal because you're going to sell that dead animal and use it up in a rental, that we never said the halacha of responsibility. Now, as Rashi points out, although we learned in the Mishnah that said that, what do you mean, chayv laham aloy achar, that he has to provide for a new donkey, that's only where if the animal died when it was still in the owner's household, where then the owner takes the dead animal, adds some more money into that, and he buys a new donkey, so he's not using up the principal. To the contrary, he's going into a new donkey that he owns. But to sell it and to use the money to rent another one, that we never said. Ditma, like we learned, that it's actually machlekes, and it's Rav who's going according to his opinion. Someone rents a donkey and it dies halfway through the journey. So Amar Rav, as we just quoted, for this is Rav's halacha, if there's enough money in the dead donkey to sell and to buy a new donkey, probably a cheaper, lower quality, but a new donkey, then you buy it. Lisker al yisker, but to rent a donkey, that you don't rent. Whereas the Shmuel Amar says, no, af lisker yisker, he says, no, even to rent, you would rent. So it explains the Gemara, but Mike, what are they arguing about? So like we said, Rav says that you can't use up the principle itself. If you're buying a new donkey, so he'll have a donkey out of his original donkey's carcass, fine. But to use it in to use up the principle in a rental, that you don't do. Shmuel says, no, you do use it up because he made this donkey, will get you there, so whatever you could take all the principle and use it up even in the rental. Now the Gemara says, Meisvei. The Gemara asks on this halacha of Rav from the following brisa. The brisa is talking about if someone who borrows money from someone else takes his tree and uses it as collateral for his friend the lender, as the what we learned on previous dafim of mashkanta de surah, which is certain types of collaterals that they would use in surah, which they would write in their contracts, when the years are up from this tree, then you're going to go ahead and get back the land without money. In other words, he continuously eats the payrus of the tree, and it deducts from the amount of the loan. So ultimately, if he borrowed $100 and every year he's using $10 worth of fruits, after 10 years, he doesn't have to pay anything. He just gets back his tree, and that's what it is. Now, the Brisa talks about a specific case in this case of when he was mashkin this tree to the lender. What's the halacha if yavesh she'ilon oy niktzatz? If the tree dries up or if it gets cut down, what do you do with it then? Now there's no more payers for the lender to use anymore. So how is he going to benefit to keep on deducting from the loan that is owed to him? Says the Brisa, Shnei Masurin Boy. Both the lender and the borrower are forbidden to use this dead tree. In other words, what would you use from a dead tree? To chop down the wood and use it as firewood and burn it. The problem is because if the borrower would go ahead and use it as firewood, then he'd be using up the principal of the lender. And if the lender would burn it, so then he would be using up the principal of the borrower. And you can't do that. So says the Braisa, Ketzed Yaseh, so what should you do? Yilokach Beikarka, you take that tree that's dead now, you sell the firewood for a certain amount of money, whatever the money is, you use, buy a piece of land with that. And then the lender will eat the peris of that field. And again, then the field will go back to the borrower at the end. So neither one is losing their source of principal. The lender will keep on getting what his mashkanta d'sura is. And the borrower will get ultimately his principal back in the form of a piece of land. That's what the Braisa says. And that asks the Gemara, Nabahach, in this case, where this field that they buy with the money that they sell from the firewood, meaning from the dead tree, Kivin d'chimata yayvul. Now, maybe during the years of the mashkin, let's say they made up that you can have the tree as collateral for 10 years. Let's say 7 years in, they hit Yovel. Yovel is every 50 years in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, that the Kahadra Ara Lamara, although someone sold his land, which these two guys bought it together because the tree had died that was being used as the mashkin, they bought this piece of land. At Yovel, it goes back to the original owner. Now, the problem is, V'kukal Yekarna, what happens is that the tree, which was originally the principal of the borrower, since they went and they sold it and they bought a piece of land with that, ultimately that's going to go back to the original owner and the borrower is going to lose his principal. And yet we see that the Braisa allows it. So we see, not like Rav, who says that you don't give a responsibility of an item, let's say in this mashkin, when it's going to use up the principal. And yet here we see that even though it's going to use up the principal, we allow that, and that's part of the responsibility from an owner. So that the Gemara says, the Chachma Iskina, what we're talking about over here in this Braisa is, Dizavan Lishit and Shnin. The seller sold it to them for a period of 60 years. Now the significance of that is because the Amr of Chizda Amr of Katina, he says, from where do we know that if someone sells his field, he specifies for a period of 60 years, that then it does not go back at the Yevil year. Rather, you wait up until the 60th year and then it goes back. Shnem, like it says, the passing of a Yikra. It says, the land, says Hashem, cannot be sold forever. Now, here the Pasuk is telling you the reasoning, the logic of the mitzvah of Yevil. Now, because it's telling you that the land cannot be sold indefinitely. It has to go back to the original owners. Now, obviously we see that the Yevil is only going to be removing land from somebody if Misha ain't Shem Yevil Nitzmises. That if not for Yevil, the sale would be indefinite. So Yeshem Yevil in its message. So then it says, therefore Hashem instituted Yevil, that it shouldn't be indefinite. Now Yatzizu, that says Rav Chizda, name of Rav Katina, that excludes this case when he sold it for 60 years. Sha'af b'she'inshem Yevil in its message. That even if there wasn't Yevil, it wouldn't be indefinite because he gave a definite amount, which is only up until 60 years. In such a case, Yevil will not remove it. So that's a case where it's not going to be Kal Yekarna because Yevil's not going to take it back. Now the Gemara asks, wait a second. Fine, Yevil won't take it back. But Saif, at the end of the day, but after the 60 years, it will go back to the owner because the sale was only for 60 years. And then you're back to the question, then you're using up all the principal. Because after 60 years, this buyer is losing what was his tree, which was used as the collateral, and then bye-bye, he doesn't get it ever again. So you see that his liability goes even as far as Kakal Yekarna, not like Rav said. So Elohach Ma'eskin rather explains the Gemara why it's not difficult on Rav. Here, what we're talking about when they buy the piece of land is bizman she'en ha-yevil noyeg. We're talking about a time when there's no more yevil anymore. There was a period in history when we stopped having halachas of yevil, and therefore, it's not a case of kal yekarna. The principle is not going to get used up because the sale is indefinite. We don't have lands going back. And therefore, that doesn't contradict Rav. That's why they could do that about buying the piece of land. But right, if it was kal yekarna, then Rav would agree that you can't do that because responsibility doesn't extend to deleting and depleting the principle of the owner. So actually, says the Gemara Hachanam Mistabra. It's actually logical, like the answer we gave for Rav to explain the Braisa. Because the Isa Gadaita, because if you'd entertain, like we had in the Havimina when we were asking on Rav, that is talking about Bizman, Shayevil Noyig, Umachalina Karna, that it is talking about a time that they bought the field when Yevil would apply and that it would go back in the Yevil year and that it would deplete the principle from the original owner. So in other words, if we're not concerned for Kal Yekarna, then the question is, then why did the Braisa say and propose that they should buy a piece of land with it, and that's how they'll split it, that he'll get the land and he'll get to use the peiros? What do you mean? let the lender just chop up the wood and use it as firewood and burn it, and that's what he'll use from the collateral. Because you're not concerned about Kakayu Karna. His responsibility extends all the way to, you could even use up the extent, like Shmuel said, who disagreed with Rav, the donkey dies, you could even use it up for rental, you could use it up. So then if it wasn't like Rav, and it was even the case of Kakayu Karna, why you have to buy land then and then lose the principal when it goes back after the amount of time? What do you mean? Just let the lender use up the whole thing, the principal, by using it for firewood. That the Gemara says no. Imishum ha leikashe. If that was your proof to say like we're resolving it now, then that wouldn't be difficult on the havamina that we said according to our original assumption, because zimnin deshalmushne mashkanta. At times, that the years which the tree was being used as collateral, which was a certain amount of years to the lender for, it could conclude mikmei yovel. It could conclude, let's say, 4 or 5 years before yovel. In those years, the borrower could eat the fruits of the tree before it gets returned to the original owners. Or inami, or also another approach like that is demotale zuzi, the borrower might end up getting money, uparakla, arba v'chamesh nin mikmei yevel. He might come to redeem and pay back the lender the loan 4 or 5 years before yevel, and therefore he would be able to have some benefit himself. So therefore, it doesn't contradict. We could really say like Shmuel, and that truthfully, normally we would be Mekal Yikaran, that we would use up the principal. The reason why we don't let him just go ahead and use it up by chopping up into firewood and we say go ahead and buy a field is because then the borrower himself could also get some utility out of his thing that it was used for mashkan. Why should he lose? Ultimately, the principal was his. Now, it was indebted for the payers to the lender. Now, yes, the lender has a right to use the collateral, but why should we create a loss for the borrower that's unnecessary? If they buy the field, then if, let's say, the mashkin ends 4 or 5 years before the yevel year, at least the borrower will still be able to get something out of it too, and therefore we use that approach instead of using the approach of the firewood. But again, it's not a proof to Rav, because we could also say like Shmuel, but again, it's not difficult on Rav either, because again, but if it was like Shmuel, we could also say that we didn't want him to just chop up the wood and be Mekali Karna that way, even though Shmuel says you could be Mekali Karna, because we would like to also have the borrower get something out of it, and possibly if the collateral expires 4 or 5 years before, yeah, well, the borrower will also get something out of it. Nothing more continues in the related discussion, like we had the case of that we were just discussing regarding renting a donkey and it dies halfway. So similarly, the Gemara brings turn upon the Braisa. Hasircha es hasvina, someone rents a ship. V'tava lo b'chatzei derech, similar type of the previous case, and then it sinks halfway through the journey. So Rav Nosson, he says as follows. Im Nosson, if the renter gave the rental fee, even if he paid the rent for the whole journey of the ship, then halacha is lo yitel, he's not allowed to take any of that rental money back, as the Gemara will later on explain, because whoever is the claimant has the lower hand. But in the reverse, it also works. If he didn't give anything, then he doesn't have to give even for half the journey. That was Reb Nosson's halacha. So the Gemara says, "Hey, what's the case talking about? If it is that the owner of the ship had said, I am leasing you this ship, and the one who was renting the ship said, I want the ship to be able to transport wine. They didn't say this one. I want to transport wine. And they agreed on those terms. So then the question is, if the renter already paid for the rent, why could he not take the rental money back? But the claim of the renter is a very strong claim, stronger than the owner's claim. Because namely, let the renter tell the owner, look, havli svinta, give me this ship. You told me you're going to rent me this ship. So it's your responsibility for this whole journey to give me this ship. Give me this ship, which you obviously can't because it sank, but it's your responsibility. Da'anam, I seen the chamra, and I will bring wine. Because I said that my part of the contract is that I'm going to take wine, I didn't say which wine, any wine, to that port, to that journey we had to get to. Now, since I could fulfill my condition, because although this wine sank, I can get other wine, which I want to transport. And you have to go ahead and provide me this ship, which you cannot. So therefore, give me my money back, because it's your fault, not my fault. So why is it that if he paid already, he can't take it back? So there the Gemara says, okay, then let's say, let's say the case was talking about where the owner had promised a ship, didn't say this ship, a ship. And the renter said, I want to transport this wine. That was the terms of the contract. So then the question is the other way. Imloy nosna may lo yitin. Then why did Reb Nosson say that if he didn't give the rental money yet, he doesn't have to give it? As the Gemara continues to base, why do we say that? Namely, let the owner tell the renter, look, havli hahu chamra. You made in the terms of the contract. You wanted to transport this shipment. get me that shipment, which you obviously can't because it's on the bottom of the ocean right now, and I'll bring a ship. I mean, because I promised any ship. Now, since the owner of the ships could fulfill his end of the condition because his terms of the contract was any ship and he could provide another ship, and it's the renter who's holding it back because he has to only transport that one and he can't, so then he should have to pay all of the rent to the owner. Why, if he didn't give, does he not have to give? So Amar Papa, so he explains, you're right, Loi Mishkachas Lo, we cannot have this case, this halachic formulation of Reb Nosson, Ela Besvinazu V'Yayin Zeh. Only if each one said, the owner said, I'm giving you, renting you, leasing you this ship, and the renter said, because I want to transport this wine. Now, neither one of them could fulfill their conditions, because both of their this is on the bottom of the ocean. So that's where Reb Nosson formulated as saying that whoever is the claimant has the lower hand, because the other one could say, I'm not holding you back, bring yours, and I'll give you your thing. So in other words, if the renter already paid the whole thing and he wants his money back, but you want your money back, what do you mean? I'm ready to do what you need me to do. What do you mean? Go ahead and bring your end of the deal. You can't, it's your fault. And the other way too, if let's say he didn't pay, so then he doesn't have to pay because although the guy's claiming the rent money, he says, wait a second, bring me your ship and then I'll do my part. You're not bringing your ships, I'm not giving you the money back. Again, whoever's claiming has the lower hand because both of them have the lower hand, and if you want to take away money from the other one, you have to fulfill your end first, and neither one of them could because they both said zeh, which is on the bottom of the ocean. Now, the Gemara explains the other case we didn't discuss, al besvina stam, b'yayin stam, cholken. But if they both said, not this, they both said, the owner said, I'll provide you a ship, and the renter said, because I want to transport wine, didn't say which wine. Then halacha is that they split the loss. In other words, if the owner already received all the rent, he has to give him like half the rent. If he didn't, and if the renter didn't give any rent yet, he has to give him half the rent. And the reason being is because both of them could fulfill the condition because they said any wine or any ship. And therefore, if let's say the defendant doesn't want to do his half, doesn't want to give half, then let him fulfill his condition. If he doesn't, then that's why you have to give half. It's both of their liability. They want to go ahead and do the contract, fine, provide a new ship, provide a new wine. Whoever's holding back, it's their loss. So both of them have a share in this responsibility because they both could go ahead with it, and therefore they split the loss. That's where the halacha is going to be. You have to give half, no matter if they gave or not. That's, you have to end up at the halfway point. Tarbon Lent Nabraisa. Related discussion. If someone rents a ship, now, the assumption of the Gemara, what this case is talking about is that if Faraka is unloading, where he rented the ship until a certain destination for a certain amount of money. When he reached the halfway point, the renter just disembarked and he took off his packages and he left. He didn't take the ship all the way to the destination. So says the Brice, so then he pays him only for the part of the journey that he took, which is half the journey. And the Einloi, and the owner of the ship, doesn't have Olav on him. Elita Rumas only has complaints. What do you mean? We made up the whole thing. Okay, we made up. But I only went halfway. I'm going to pay you for halfway. That's what the Brisa says. So the Gemara asks, hey, Chadam, what's the case talking about? If the owner of the ship will find other passengers to take them for the rest of the journey, he'll be able to rent out the ship. So Elita Rumas says, then why does he have complaints? Well, you're not losing anything. Go ahead. Rent it out to someone else. And if he cannot find someone else to rent it for the rest of the journey, so kuli agrabah yishlomi, then the renter should have to pay for the whole journey because you rented for the whole thing. You're backing out. It's a loss of money for me. He should have to pay for the whole thing, not just for half. So the Gemara explains, the truth is that he could find other people to rent it out to use it for the rest of the amount that the original guy had rented it, which he backed out halfway. Why does he have complaints? What do you mean? What, you're not losing anything. Rent it out to someone else. He is because of the shakiness of the ship. In other words, because when people dragging their suitcases and cargo on and off of the ship, it weakens the ship a little bit. So therefore, although yes, I'm not losing anything of the rent, but I could still have complaints. Now the Gemara says, but if that's the case, then that's a full-fledged complaint. And it's not just, a complaint that you can be upset at someone. It's actually a monetary claim because it's actually wear and tear on the ship that's unnecessary because you were supposed to take it for the whole thing. Now I got to split amongst two different types of journeys, and it's wear and tear, and they should have to pay. Why is it just tarumas? So Ella, my parker. So actually, the Gemara gives a different interpretation of what's this case talking about when he was parker b'chatzederech, that he was pirated halfway. It's the parker is that he unloaded l'toyene begave. To actually, halfway through the journey, he added on more cargo, which he had at that halfway point. Now, originally, the renter had made up with the owner that he's going to put on as much cargo as he wants to, and he'll pay him according to the weight of the cargo that he's going to have for the journey. Now, therefore, now, since at the halfway point, he adds on more cargo, when the Braisa says he has to give him the schar of chatzei derech, of the increase of the cargo of the second half of the journey. That's what it means to say that he has to give him that amount. He gives him half, and then he adds on more for the second half. Now, the Gemara asks, but elamai tarumis, and then what's the complaint? What do you mean? They made up, he's going to pay him for the weight. Now, okay, on halfway, he added on more, so you pay more for the weight. What's the complaint? So the Gemara says, either because the mishimshinu daita is because the owner says, I thought, look, I don't have time to waste. I can use my boat, make a lot of money. I calculated I'm going to be able to get there at a certain amount of time. I was able to get back quickly because I thought we're going straight. Now, because the change of your intentions that we got to stop somewhere to pick up more stuff, that's causing me problems. So although that's not a clear-cut monetary claim because ultimately he could stop him, but he didn't tell him that beforehand, and therefore that he could have tarumas on him. Or inami, or also another reason is la ashli yisera. He says, now, I didn't know about this beforehand. I thought whatever you brought on originally was all we're doing. Now, at this halfway point, I got to buy more rope that's going to cost me a lot. Because now that you're adding on more cargo, the ship is going to weigh down. So I got to take the ship further out to the middle of the river, to deeper water, so because now that it weighs down more, it's going to end up hitting the bottom of the river if it's too close to the shore. So I need longer rope. And you didn't tell me this originally, that I should have to bring the rope that we're going to need. And because of that, that's going to cost me. So although, yes, technically you're allowed to, it's not a financial claim. But since you didn't tell me, I definitely have complaints against you. That's the case of the price of. So farak, again, doesn't mean unloading. It actually means that he's stopping to put on more. And that's the tarumis of either the rope or because of the change of direction that now he can't keep to his schedule that he had planned on doing. Tanabun lintna b'raisa. Again, like the cases we were discussing previously, if someone rents a donkey to ride on it. So the terms of the contract are as follows. So the renter, who he's paying the donkey driver to take him like a taxi to get somewhere, he's renting him that he could get a ride. So he's allowed to put on the donkey his clothing, his flask, and his food for the entire journey. Anything beyond that, the donkey driver could stop and say, no, that's too much. We can't load up the donkey that much. Now, Chamar, the donkey driver himself, he could load up onto the donkey the barley, the straw, and his own food of that day. Anything beyond that, the renter could stop and say, no, it's going to be too much. It's going to weigh down the donkey. The journey is going to take too long. That's the terms that they have amongst each other. Now, the Gemara says, what's the case talking about? If there is food to be gotten on the road, so then the donkey driver should be able to stop the renter that he should only be allowed to put on enough food for one day. Why is it that the Braisa quotes him as being able to put on for the whole entire journey? And if there's nowhere on the road till they get to their destination to buy, so and then why is the renter allowed to stop the donkey driver from only putting on one day's worth of food and not for the whole journey? So Amar Papa explains, the case is talking about the shchiach, that it is found, lemitrach, to put an effort, ulemizvan, and to buy, mi'avna la'avna, from one motel to the next motel, which they stay over at nighttime. Now, chamar, a donkey driver, so darchi lemitrach, it's normal for him to put in the effort and to ask around in the city, go, where can we find, you know, who sells food? That's what they do for a journey. They're always on the road. They know how to, they do this all the time. And ulemizvan, then to buy. So therefore, he's limited to one day's worth because for him, it's very normal when he comes to the next motel to go ahead and find food. Seicher, lav darche lemitrach ulemizvin, a renter, this is a businessman, he's just getting a ride. It's not normal for him to put in the effort and to try to find and see who has to sell and to haggle and to get, and therefore he could take it for the whole journey. That's why there's a differentiation in the chamar only taking for one day's worth, and the one who's renting him, who's paying for the drive, could take it for the whole journey. Taraban, another halacha on these cases. Haseicher es hachamar lirka b'leah ish. If someone rents a donkey for a man, he made in the contract, then a man's going to be riding the donkey. So halacha is leitirka b'leah isha, so then a woman cannot ride the donkey. And the reason for that is because on some level, the way she rides it, she weighs it down more, and therefore it wasn't amongst the wear and tear of the contract, it was just for a man, not for a woman. Now isha, if it was for a woman, then of course, reicha b'leah ish, then a man could ride in it because he doesn't weigh it down as much as a woman does. Now, more of the isha, if let's say they made up the contract that a woman's going to ride on it, then any type of woman could ride on it. Ben gedelo, ben gitana, whether she's a large woman or a small woman, afilam uberes, even if she's pregnant, afilam anika, and even if she's nursing. Now, the Gemara asks, hashta manika, if the Braisa says that a nursing woman who has two different bodies, and you have the weight of the child, Amrit, you said that she could ride on the donkey with her child, So a pregnant woman who's only one body, Mibai, do we have to say that she also could ride on the donkey? If we're saying Manika, why say Muberis? So my puppy says, no, Muberis, but he Manika kama. When we said the case of the pregnant woman, she's pregnant and nursing. So that is an added chiddush, not just a nursing woman, but a nursing woman that's also pregnant who's really heavy, because she's heavy and the child has weight. And even so, it doesn't make a difference when a woman is going, that includes her baby, and that allows even that amount of weight. Now, Amabai says one thing that Shmamino, what we infer from the Braisa, that says that even a pregnant woman could ride on the donkey, which sounds like that a pregnant woman is heavier than a not pregnant woman who's even from the same body mass. In other words, as Taisa explains, it would seem that the weight of a pregnant woman is heavier than a woman with the same size that's not pregnant. The reason for that is because the fetus weighs the woman down more than her own body weight. So what we infer from that, because or else why say Muberis? We already said any woman, whether large or small, and large can be very large, so what's the chiddush in saying a pregnant woman? She's also large. Must be that the pregnancy actually creates more weight than just a large woman. So says Abai, what we could infer from that is that Benisa, that regarding a fish which is sold in the marketplace by weight, Acharsa, according to its stomach, is tikla, is its weight. In other words, if its stomach is large, you should know that the weight is going to be large too. Says the Gemara, l'may nafkamina, for what halachic relevancy is Abai telling us this? It's l'mekech memcha, it's regarding business dealings, and that is if you see a fish that its stomach is very large, then don't buy it by weight unless you first take out its intestines, because the stomach, which is where the fetus is, that weight is much more weight than just the rest of the body. So therefore, the pregnancy weighs her down more than the regular woman. So to a fish, if you're buying by weight and you see a large stomach, rather take out the stomach because that's weighing it down more than everything else, and then go ahead and buy it by weight. Or if not, then don't buy it by weight again, because there's a large market difference from the regular body weight to the weight of the stomach.